Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to another episode of Stocks to Watch, where we have exclusive discussions with company leaders to help you identify promising investment opportunities. I'm Munir Barazi, your business analyst and host, and today I'm speaking with Julian Davey, the president and CEO of Tarco Resources, an exploration company with several projects that contain deposits of gold, silver, copper, lithium, and more. The company is listed on the TSX Venture Exchange as TKU, on the OTCQB as TRKUF, and on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange as 7TK. Good day, Julian. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Munir. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you from the Nordics. I'm in Oslo, you're in Canada, and we haven't enjoyed spring yet, so hopefully the weather will become better very soon. Apart from that, I want to discuss with you the lithium markets today. I know you've recently acquired the Max Lithium property. Originally, you had properties more focused on gold, copper, zinc, and other minerals, but you didn't have lithium back then in your portfolio. So this acquisition means that you have a positive outlook when it comes to the lithium markets. Even though the market reached a peak a couple of years ago, and now it has declined. Walk me through that.
Yeah, as you said, exactly, Tarco is a junior exploration company. So we have several projects. We have several exploration projects, and it's always in safe jurisdictions, mining friendly jurisdictions, and they are all based our projects on geological merits. So you mentioned a lithium project. We had in the past vanadium projects. We have active now silver and gold project with other base metal projects. For us, it's important to have a what we call a diversified portfolio of projects to be able to adapt ourselves on the reality of the markets. We acquired the lithium project back in February last year, 2023. So, yes, the market, you asked a question about the market, the lithium market. Yes, it has it changed. We saw the lithium carbonate price going down. But we, if I can just remember people that the lithium, it's a industrial commodity. It has to be compared to other industrial commodities like iron, for example. Lithium is not traded on an open market like gold or silver, for example. It is mostly affected by supply and demand. As we are seeing now more and more that the lithium market, it's becoming more mature too. So there are now more players than 5 years ago, and we will see more and more of these players in the near future. So did we see a decline in the lithium price in 2023? Yes, of course, we all saw that. But I believe it was more attributed to the ability of the whole sector to adapt to the and to reply to the market's demand. If I can remember you, just a few months ago, we were afraid that we couldn't provide enough lithium as a raw material in this market. And rapidly the sector adapt, and the exploration branch of the whole supply chain adapt also. And we were able to seek rapidly for new projects. Look what happened in Quebec, for example, during the summer 2023. I believe that in Quebec, it's the first time we saw so many foreign companies staking mining claims and starting exploration programs. And the market correction we've seen come from that oversupply of global lithium production and also global lithium new discoveries and resource that put a downward, I would say, pressure on the price. So of course there's other markets consideration to look, but like the volatility or other stuff. But to me, it's a question of oversupply of good projects that we've seen in 2023.
Okay, and you mentioned the oversupply, and I imagine in the future there will also be recycling capabilities, and that would also impact the supply in the market. How do you think that will affect the price?
Recycling, it's something that we are trying to do. Lithium will be able to be recycled. It's another part in the supply chain. Right now, it's a small portion, and it will become more and more efficient as we see the supply chain, the whole supply chain, be more mature too. So of course, it will give another pressure to down pressure to the price. But I don't foresee that before a certain time yet. Until we have a more active sector.
So you mentioned earlier that the price quoted on the markets is for lithium carbonate, and there are also other types of lithium, such as lithium hydroxide and spodumene. Can you explain to our viewers the differences between those different forms?
Okay, yes. So the lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxides, these are the two common, what we call concentrates, that are produced by concentration and refinery from the raw material. So these are concentrates, because you know that, lithium ions are not stable. They are in the air. You have to mix lithium ions with other chemicals, components, to create what we call a battery-grade lithium-rich material that you are able to circulate around the world. So to make that, they choose two different type of component of chemical component, which are the lithium hydroxide and lithium carbonate. Commonly, lithium hydroxide is produced when you want to feed the NMC battery supply chain. What we call the NMC is the nickel manganese cobalt battery supply chain. And on the other hand, if you want to supply the LFP battery supply chain, I mean, with LFP, we mean lithium iron phosphate. You are creating the lithium carbonate concentrates. And on the other hand, the spodumene, it's the mineral itself that contains the lithium. So that's the raw material, spodumene, that are extracted by the miners. So globally, there are two main ways to extract lithium. You know, as you know, there is the brines in South America, which was until recently the most important source of lithium, but it's not anymore. And you have, on the other hand, the hard rock type of deposits, which we know as the spodumene deposits and the pegmatites that contains the spodumene. So the spodumene is the raw material, and the lithium carbonate and hydroxide are the concentrates.
Thank you for this clarification. It's very helpful. And to get back to your property, the Max Lithium property, it's located in Quebec, Canada. But based on your explanation so far, which form of lithium can be derived from this property?
It's a hard rock project. So it's during the summer 2023, we did a reconnaissance program where we discovered pegmatites with spodumene. So it's really well located, as you mentioned, in Quebec. We are in the heart of the Abitibi Greenstone Belt. There are numerous igneous rocks there, and pegmatites are found all over the places. And we are located at 4 kilometers only from the the only existing producing lithium mine from spodumene in Canada. So we are really well located. We have 19 square kilometer of the same type of geological environment that contains a lot of pegmatites. So I think it's a really interesting and project.
And this proximity to this mine, does it offer you infrastructure, logistical advantages?
In terms of infrastructure, that's a good point, because we always looking at projects that are accessible. We don't want to spend too much in helicopter or budget to access the property. So it's important for us to have infrastructure in place. And if we found significant spodumene and lithium on the property, it's being at 4 kilometers from an existing and a running a mine, it's always a good sign.
And I believe you touched on this point earlier, but perhaps you could elaborate. Your current property in Canada, Quebec, has deposits that are different from the deposits you typically find in the US. How are those different types of deposits different?
It's a question of geology. When it comes to lithium deposits, there are some differences between Canada and US. There are some similarities, but also some differences. It's not black and white, but let's say that roughly we can resume saying that hard rock deposits are more commonly found in Quebec, in Canada, and in the US they have more what we are calling clay deposits. They both side have the other type of deposit, but roughly we could say that. So clay deposits, if I may remind people here, it's a kind of sedimentary deposit that is found accessionally and more extensively throughout Nevada. That's why we are talking about clay deposits. It's because if we take the example of Thacker Pass, for example, it's a huge discovery. And if I go back to the reason why, it's because in that area there were some lakes million years ago, and with where evaporation exceeds the inflow of water, and so you had a lithium enrichment in the clay at the bottom of those lakes. And that's why you have huge amount of lithium that has been found in those area. So typically a clay deposit, it's a large volume with a low grade material. We're talking about grades around 0.1 or 0.2% lithium. And it has some disadvantage in terms of metallurgy because it's very complex to separate the lithium ions from the clay itself. So, and I don't think that we have an economic process that demonstrates the viability yet to extract lithium from the clay, but it will be demonstrated in the future probably, but yet I don't think so. And if you compare to the hard rock deposits, which is about, yet I think it's 60% of the global lithium production comes from hard rock deposits, and it's been found in what we're calling igneous rocks, and pegmatites are a common igneous rock. So in Quebec, most of the recent discoveries that were done since the two last years were done in pegmatites, with the advantage that the ore is already at a high grade level. We're talking about 2% and 4% lithium oxide, so roughly 10 to 20 times the grades in clay deposits. And it's easier to make it a pure, a high grade quality in terms of purity from a hard rock than from a clay. So in terms of process, it is a little bit more environmentally speaking, more friendly from a hard rock deposit than from a clay deposit for now.
So it's from an operational perspective, the hard rock deposits are easier to extract and to work with and more economically viable, if I understand correctly.
Yes, you understand correctly. Absolutely. It's for now, the processes that we know, it's always a matter of finding the right processes. And as you know, the mining industry is a fairly don't like to innovate too much rapidly. It will innovate, but it takes some time. So we are using processes that we are that we know today. So for now, if and there is in people that are building refinery now in North America, so it will probably make more sense for them to at the first time to go to known processes rather to innovate and spend a lot of money to innovation in new processes.
Okay, and to go back to the lithium markets, we did discuss supply and demand conditions, and you are optimistic when it comes to lithium prices in the future. So tell us about your outlook. How do you see the lithium markets performing in the medium and longer term?
That's a good question. I'm not a market specialist, but I definitely see lithium positively, absolutely. Will the price stay flat maybe for the next month along with the actual electric vehicle demand? Maybe, but that will not, but only for the next month and until we see the next really rise in demand in lithium, that's for sure. We are far from having meet our clean energy transition. And what we are currently witnessing is a whole reorganization of the battery supply chain. Look what Tesla is building right now in Texas. It's a refinery. So it means that all the material no longer needs to be shipped all on the other side of the globe to be refined. That's another step to a North America supply chain for the battery sector, and all the domestic project will be under spotlight. Even I would say, like we were saying a little bit earlier, I would say that the project with better quality will come first, and that's that the one that are able to provide high grade and probably the one that are more environmentally friendly will be the one that will be used first. So that's why I see a really good positive future for lithium.
Do you believe 5 years from now we will still be relying on lithium ion batteries?
The answer is yes. To me, markets like lithium and industrial markets don't change overnight. It's not like the storm we got last night here in Montreal. Industrial areas are taking time to change. They are putting a lot of effort and investment to build a billion of value mills and refineries and all kind of, they do a lot of investment. So it won't change by tomorrow. Will there be one day other technologies to put into vehicles? Of course, we all know that, but it won't change tomorrow. So 5 years from now, yes, I believe lithium will still be there.
Absolutely. It's a good insight. There's a lot of investment going on in this supply chain in particular. My last question is, why do you think investors should include lithium equities in their portfolio, and why Tarko resources specifically?
That's a good question. Again, the lithium, it's when it comes to investing in lithium, you have to invest in companies. It's not like gold and silver is an industrial material. You cannot buy lithium on the market like this, like gold or silver. So you have to, if you want to be in lithium, you have to invest into companies. So if you want to be part of this clean energy transition, you want to consider investing in companies that have lithium projects. So typically, investors that are interested by small capitalization companies like Tarku, they are not there for only a few weeks, but for a medium term, which is more the reality of a discovery scenario for exploration companies. And what we believe with Tarku is having a healthy portfolio with diversifying project, but with also different kind of commodities help the investors having their own healthy portfolio, which is diversified. That's why we always wanted to have several projects in different commodities. As we speak today, again, we have, as we said today, a lithium project, but also really good gold and project and silver projects, with also other base metals project. We do have some zinc and copper on our projects, and we are in safe jurisdiction, which is also important for investors. We are in mining friendly jurisdiction. So look what is happening today with gold and the silver price. The whole market is shifting, and the exploration companies will take advantage of that shift. And that, I would say, in the real near future, all of our projects are at the discovery level, and we will be conducting more drilling and exploration during the next month. So if I could say that, if I look at the markets, the market capitalization of Tarku today, I believe it's a strong opportunity. If you look at any lithium market or gold market, we are seeing right now a turnaround. We are at the turnaround point right now, and all the exploration market will take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe Tarku offers a great opportunity to establish the exposure to several important minerals and commodities. As you mentioned, gold touched 2,300, I believe, yesterday. And
Right.
with the potential for it to go a lot higher. And that applies to several commodities. And with Tarku, there is also leverage. It's currently offered at a very good price, and that offers a lot of upside potential for investors. So really great work, and I can see that you've achieved a lot of incremental progress on so many of your properties. So this is very
Thank you.
encouraging. Julian Davey, the CEO and President of Tarku Resources, thank you so much for sharing those insights, and we look forward to hearing more from you very soon.
Thank you, Munir. It was a real pleasure to be here and discuss with you today. Have a good one.
Thank you. Have a good one.